This is Monsters with Classes. Welcome to the Big Rock, home of Nisoisto and Koldic.
Got on a ship that sailed across the bay, brought you to the Blazing Arch, and at the Blazing Arch you got an inn called Fred the Fish and woke up to the smell of fried fish.
Yeah, pack up my stuff and head downstairs.
Okay, so you grab all your stuff and go down the stairs. The little gnome is sweeping and his crazy hair flaps from side to side as he quickly
Is he sweeping
turns.
With his hair?
No, he is sweeping with a broom.
Is there any sign of the fish that's creating this smell?
Yes, there are a bunch of plates inside a glass dome with little openings, and they look to be all frying on their plates, and sizzling and warm, and
like
good.
Like a cafeteria?
It is a gnomon invention that he made.
Nice.
And it has his name inscribed in the glass on the side.
What's his name?
His name is Fred!
Oh, yes, I remember that now.
Good morning, Fred.
He does a thumbs up, but does not say anything.
Okay, Koldic's gonna head downstairs, and he's gonna eat as much fish as he can.
So you open up the first glass thing, and reach in to grab the fish, and burn your hand.
Okay.
What is this thing you've made to burn my hand?
He does thumbs up again, but doesn't say anything as he continues to sweep the room. You notice that he is sweeping up your muddy footprints that you brought in last night.
I know you can hear me. How do I get me fish?
The gnome walks over, reaches in, pulls out the thing. He has a strange-looking glove on, sets it down on the table, and continues to sweep.
Would I be able to have some breakfast as well?
He reaches in, grabs two plates, and dumps one plate onto the other plate and hands it to you.
Why does he get two plates and I get one?
He doesn't answer and continues to sweep.
I can probably eat just as much, if not more, than he can.
He just continues to sweep.
Okay, Koldic's gonna eat up the fish, pack up his stuff, and wait for an Nisoisto.
Same thing.
Okay, so you guys stand in the doorway waiting for each other, and then you notice that the other person is ready. So where are you going? Where are you ready to go?
Where were we supposed to go again?
To Sunfall, to a guild.
And how far away is that?
15-hour journey.
Are there any, like, stopping points along the way?
There is one camp that normally people stop at. There's a log cabin that has a door without a lock.
And just nobody owns it and random people sleep in there?
Yep. It's something that the people in Sunfall area have done. They've built these cabins along roads in normal commutes because it's dangerous to sleep on the ground because you'll get covered in sand.
Is it safe in the cabin?
It is safer in the cabin.
Okay. I should be fine. Nisoisto is a pretty big dragonborn. So we'll go stop at the cabin and then head the rest of the way in the morning.
So you get there on the fifth day of you adventuring. It's the fifth day since you've met the prince. And you reach the Global Horizon Guild in Sunfall City.
Go inside, look around for someone who looks like a mark.
Okay, so you look around and you see a person in leather armor sitting in the corner with a bow and a sword strapped to their side. They look to be a mark, or at least like the person that the prince described to you.
Excellent. Nisoisto is going to walk over to maybe Mark and say,
"Hello. Do you happen to know where I can find Mark?"
Before you can reach him, he gets up and walks over to you, reaching out his hand to shake.
Shake his hand.
He says, "Hello, I am the man you are looking for, Dragonborn, unless I am mistaken and you are not Nisoisto."
"I am indeed Nisoisto."
"Hello, I am the ranger of Sunfall, the fields and mountains and a few trees that are behind us. Are mine. At least, I am the ranger that is jurisdicted over that area."
"We are looking for these gargoyles that are supposed to have been brought to life from this wizard's tower and all this stuff. You presumably know about this."
"Yes. Well, the wizard's tower is in the center of my domain, and those gargoyles have been trotting around my territory."
"So it's true then? It sounded like a whole load of nonsense to me.
It is true. They are very real. Real enough to be eating deer whole and taking down animals as if they are pigs or just waiting little helpless squirrels.
That is interesting. I didn't suspect stone creatures to have an animal diet.
Neither did I. These fangs, they're large and scary. Anyways, the prince has paid me to escort you there, and paid me to keep an eye on them. If you have any direct questions about these creatures, I can tell you.
Do they seem intelligent?
Very. I had a conversation with one.
Really?
Yes. They're quite insane.
As in mentally unstable?
Yes. The conversation wasn't very intelligible. I mean, they just gibber, but it was very interesting.
The soyster's just gonna, like, look over at Koldick and, like, he doesn't have eyebrows, does he? He's just gonna kind of, like, flex the scales above his eyes in a disbelieving manner.
And do they look like they're made out of stone?
Yes. Some have a little bit of fur on them, but other than that, yes.
And do they respond as such when injured?
Yes.
Would you be able to lead us to them immediately?
Yes.
Well, let's go then.
Okay, I will bring you to my domain. He opens the door and strides out into the street, heading north out of the city.
Okay. Follow behind him.
Koldick is going to try to whisper. He's not very good at that. But he's going to try to whisper to Nesoisto.
Do you think this is really Mark? I don't think the prince would hire someone like this.
The prince may not have had the option of personally interviewing this ranger beforehand.
Do you whisper?
I don't think Nesoisto can whisper.
Okay, so neither of you really whisper. You just have a conversation about this guy behind his back, literally. So he seems to not care and continues to walk northward. He brings you on a winding path up the hill behind Sunfall and brings you out into the pastures, past a river, up a hill, and then on a small, thin path up the side of one of the mountains.
Okay, so as soon as Koldick can see the tower, he's going to take out his axe and he's going to hold it in his hand as he walks.
Okay, so you walk up the path, and the guy, Mark, turns around and says, I will go behind you from here.
For what purpose?
I do not want to die. These are dangerous creatures. They have invaded my lands, but I do not like the idea of dying.
Then is it not their land?
No, how dare you suggest such a arbitrary and completely unsensical proposition.
Are we, like, on a little ledge?
It's, like, 4 feet wide.
Okay, so there's enough room.
Yeah, and you wouldn't, like, fall to your death if you fell off. It's only, like, a smooth 4 foot area, and then...
Oh, so we can't push him off, then?
Okay, we'll go out in front of him.
Okay, so you guys continue to walk around. I need you guys to make perception checks.
7.
18 for Nesoisto.
So, Nesoisto, you realize that the ranger has slipped behind you and is now out of sight.
Does the path just clearly continue on in a specific direction?
Yes, it does.
I'll just keep following it.
Okay. So, you continue to walk up the side of the mountain. An hour later of this continuous walking on this path, you haven't seen Mark again, and Koldick, you have noticed this now.
Good riddance. He's gone?
Yes.
So, you continue, and by now, you can see the tip of the tower over the next bend.
What does it look like?
It comes to a very fine point. The tower has no top area you can walk on. It is very much shaped like a carrot, and it has bulges like a carrot.
What color is it?
Exactly orange. It is yellowish brown.
Yellowish brown.
Yes.
Is there a door?
You can't see yet. because you haven't come over the hill yet, so you can't look down on it yet.
Well, keep going then.
Okay, so you continue walking, and by now you can see all of the rock spread out below you. You are up on the feet of one of the mountain. If you got to the very top, you could see everything, but you can see most of the rock. You can see Sunfall, and you can see the bay in the far distance, and most of the barren desert area, and you can see the lush green after the bay, and then you kind of can't see any further because you're not high enough.
Okay, Nasoistu is going to, like, look out over this expanse and just, like, imagine all the, like, migrations and wars and events and kingdoms of history just play out across it.
Okay, so assuming you have done this before because you actually used to live near here, so you lived a little
Yeah,
bit.
But I haven't done it for a while because
yes.
I've been teaching at the college.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have done this before, and you watch these wars happen and colonies move and cities be built and cities be destroyed and...
Why are we here so long? Can't we continue on? It's been like
at least 500 years?
It's been like 2 minutes, but yeah, sure, 500 years. He probably actually imagined like the 3,000 years of history that he knows about, so yeah.
Okay.
It's been like 2 million hours now. We're just standing here.
Your sense of time is rather flawed, Koldic. But we can continue on to the tower now.
Your view here is a little bit different than where you used to walk. You haven't actually ever seen the Wizard Tower before. It's kind of in a valley. So yeah, you guys walk down in towards the valley and you see the carrot-shaped Wizard Tower poking out of the valley. And you can see a small door made of the same strange colored stone.
And do we see the gargoyles around anywhere?
You see 6 pillars made of the same stone out in front of this tower, and a set of yellowish brown stairs leading up to it, to the door. And you see some of the pillars are cracked, and you only see one gargoyle made of this yellowish brown stone sitting on top of one of the pillars. But it is not moving.
Nasoistu is going to approach it.
Hello.
Hello.
A strange voice echoes behind you.
So not from the gargoyle?
The gargoyle's mouth does not move. And the sound sounds like it's from behind you.
Okay, Nasoistu is going to slowly turn around and look for somewhere that voice could have come from.
Koldic is behind you.
I don't think Koldic sounds like that.
So, you see the rock and the stone. Do you want to make a perception check?
Certainly.
Okay.
16.
So, you see a few little bushes, the rock and the stone, and a little river trickling down the side of one of the hills. Mountainy thingies. But you do not see a creature that could make this strange voice.
Who just said that?
Which direction are you facing when you say this?
I'm still facing away from the gargoyle.
Okay. You hear a voice from again behind you say
it. It was me!
So, Koldic is facing the gargoyle. Can he see anything?
It doesn't move an inch. It is still.
And there's nothing stone. Around the area?
Nothing.
The Soyster is going to slowly turn around again and say, where are you?
I am here. You hear from behind you.
The Soyster is going to turn around again.
Koldic, you notice that when the Soyster speaks, his voice reverberates around this small valley, and sometimes it sounds like he's talking from behind him or over in a corner, and your voice does the same. All of your voices echo strangely, eerily, in this valley.
Doesn't his voice don't notice this?
No.
Okay, I'm going to reach down to my boot, pull a dagger out, charge towards the gargoyle, and then once I get within 60 feet, I'm going to throw the dagger.
Okay, so you chuck your dagger, and it tinks off the stone. What'd you get?
17 attack.
Yep.
4 damage.
Okay, so yes, it tinks off the stone, and a little teeny chip comes out of the back of its arching form.
And does it move at all after that?
It stays stone still, but a little wisp of smoke comes out of the hole you just made.
Nasoistu is going to complete his full circle again, so he's facing back towards the gargoyle, and then he's going to cast message to the gargoyle and say,
is it you that I hear speaking?
You hear a response in your head and reverberating around you in this place.
I am sorry for the acoustics. They are confusing at times. You are speaking to me.
The smoke. And with that, a puff puffs out of this gargoyle from the hole Koltik just made, and a strange, shadowy form appears above it. It darts towards the top of the tower, floating higher and higher until it reaches the tip where it sits. You can make out that this is a cloaked figure made of black fog.
Well, I'm going to take my black fog mage hand and wave at it.
The creature lifts up its hand and sucks your mage hand towards it. Faltering for a second, your mage hand is almost magnetically pulled towards its hand, then falters back into place.
Okay, I'm going to not focus on that mage hand anymore, and I'm going to... How tall is the tower?
About 78 feet, 70 feet around there.
Okay, so three times jump distance. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to jump up this tower.
How high can you get?
I could get 3 feet. You would be able to get 15.
Is that with casting jump?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I am going to... I guess I'll try to figure out if there's, like, any magic in the gargoyle that we could potentially use to, like, that he's, like, bound to or something.
You want
to
roll for Arcana?
I was hoping that I could roll for history.
How?
My stone cunning.
That would be about, like, who made the gargoyle.
Arcana 12.
Okay, so you look to the gargoyle, and you look at it for a little while, like, probably about 3 seconds. See nothing, absolutely nothing. And then you look for another 3 seconds, and in those 3 seconds, you realize that the gargoyle is stone, and only stone. There is no magical properties imbued into that stone. The stone is completely normal. And it is stamped.
Nasoisto is going to look up to the top of the tower where the black figure is and say,
What are you? Is that all?
Maybe. The voice changes as it reverberates around and around the small valley, bouncing Maybe. Off of the stone.
Maybe. Maybe.
And the creature gets a little bit bigger. Sitting down on the top of the tower, it starts to fiddle with a long black blade, about 12 feet long.
Nasoista?
Yes?
Ask him where the other gargoyles are.
Where have the other gargoyles gone?
I have abandoned them in the forests. They are good for armor, but are useless to me now.
You mean that you controlled them?
I was in them. I was one with them. I moved them by being in them.
The voices of your conversation can be heard echoing and echoing, and it sounds like a jumbled mess. It gets louder until it starts to seem to hurt your ears. The voices of you, Koldik. And you can start even to hear the first words that were spoken in this valley.
Okay, Nasoisto is going to go back up to the hill.
Like, yeah, Koldik's leaving the valley too.
Why are you leaving?
Another voice added to the jumbled mix.
I don't know what wizardry and sorcery you have conjured in this place. But I don't enjoy it.
Oh.
Is the noise still building?
The noise is still building.
It is just the land. I did not create this. I just find it quite enjoyable.
Am I up over the edge of the hill yet?
Yes. And once you are on top of the hill, you can hear faintly the words that you have spoken repeating in your brain. Maybe. Or maybe they're actual sound that you are hearing. It is hard to tell at this point. The words continue to reverberate over and over.
But they aren't, like, really loud like they were before.
Yeah, they're not overwhelming you anymore.
Okay, Koldik is going to take a piece of chalk, and he's going to start writing using illusory script from his hand axe so that anyone but him and Nasoisto can't tell what he's writing. He's going to write, We need a plan. This is obviously not gargoyles. we're dealing with.
So, you write that down with a piece of chalk on a nearby piece of stone. And, Nesoisto, you see that the creature on top of the tower has put its large sword back into its sheath. And as it does so, the sword shrinks. And then it throws its cloak over the sheath and walks down the side of the tower at a right angle to its slope.
Goldick's going to continue writing. Nesoisto, I know you can speak to me in my head. What are we going to do?
Nesoisto will reply with cantrip message to Goldick.
This is unexpected.
What is unexpected?
It seems rather obvious what I am referring to. The fact that there are no gargoyles, but instead that there is a shadowy figure who walks horizontally down buildings.
But his plan. I asked about a plan.
Let's try to talk to this figure.
Go ahead. I don't want to.
Okay, so the hooded shadow finishes walking down the carrot-shaped tower that is made of yellow-brown stone. The tower is about 70 feet tall, and when the shadow touches the ground, it walks a little bit quicker. It walks towards you and up towards the path.
Well, I'm waiting for it to come to us.
Okay. It continues walking and steps into the shadow of one of the cliffs. Pulling back its hood, you see that it has long, thin hair that wisps in the wind.
Does it have a face?
It does. And its face has two white eyes that stare at you. It seems to almost merge through the shadow of the cliff until it is standing directly in front of you. It whispers, "Why have you come? And why are you here?"
"We are looking for gargoyles."
"Do you have a way to cut stone? If you do, you could easily take the gargoyle off of its pedestal."
"Well, we were under the assumption that these gargoyles were animated and that there were more than one."
"Well, if you talk to anyone who's actually educated about this, you will know that only one was seen at a time. And you will know that once one was killed or destroyed, it turned to solid stone. And later that night, I clearly had a free passage back to the next. In this process, I was not injured."
"So, you are saying that you possessed these stone carvings?"
"Well, I did some magic, and they became part of me."
"And what exactly might you be, if you don't mind my inquiry?"
"I am Darren Edge."
"I am Nesoisto the Large, a dragonborn."
"I am a half-elf."
"No, you're not like any half-elf I've heard about."
"This news does come as a shock to us."
"Yes, well, some people do mistake me for a human. I don't have very pointy ears."
"You're not like any human I've heard about either."
"And you also seem to have rather inhuman abilities."
"Any powerful wizard could do what I am. I mean, meld into stone is a normal spell."
"So, would you be the first wizard in this tower, or the more recent one?"
"I am the very first. I made the tower. Normally, I would be in the uppermost room that is secretive, but the young wizard that recently came in decided to poke around and found the door.
The Soyster?
Yes?
How long has this tower been around?
The wizard is right here. Why don't you ask her?
Because I asked you.
What was her name again?
Edge.
So, Edge, how long have you lived in this tower?
Well, I lived for 80 years, and then I was trapped in the room for about 243 years, and I was let out recently.
How did you become trapped?
Well, that's quite personal, but I was cursed in having all of this great power, and became a shadow, as you might presume I am shadow, and locked myself in the tower before I died, so that I would not destroy. And now that I am let free, I can roam, but I had 240-some years to learn how to control myself, so do I not destroy and destroy.
And what have you put your time to use with so far?
Well, I guess I haven't really succeeded, have I? I mean, I've attacked a few towns, killed a few people, destroyed a few animals, broke down a few trees. I'm really not succeeding.
And would you like to succeed?
Well, I spent 240 years trying to, but now I'm free, and I don't know. Maybe I would, but it's hard to make that decision. It's hard to differentiate my mind before it was cursed and after. That is quite complicated.
Do you, as a wizard, know of any methods by which this curse could be removed?
Yes, but I would die.
Shouldn't you already be dead? If elves don't live 200 years?
Well, it's hard to agree that you should be dead when you are living. Maybe this is how it was supposed to be. I don't know. I am clearly being overtaken by one deity, and the other is clearly hoping for my death. And the one of balance hasn't done anything. Felrin, Everus, and Oris seem to have forgotten me.
So you do not wish for your death?
I enjoy living, but I'm causing harm. I should be detained, but yet detaining me is almost impossible.
It happened in the tower? How was that?
It was of my doing. I made a room that once opened could never be shut again, and what's shut would never be open. But yet, it was. Because someone had the key that I hid.
Did you intend for this room to be discovered?
No.
So it was your intent that you stay locked up forever?
Well, I could always see what was happening looking over the countryside through my windows. And honestly, it was a nice life. But being found wasn't the worst thing that ever happened to me. Currently, I am fighting an urge to attack you. Honestly, you probably shouldn't be talking to me. You should probably be slaying me if you had the capabilities or running away.
It seems as though you are very conflicted.
Well, I am conflicted.
What is it you wish for?
Well, my main wish is that I could be captured and never to be let out again. But that is, as I said, practically impossible.
What are the difficulties in trying to proceed with this endeavor?
I have lost my power, at least most of it. I created this tower in a matter of seconds, but now I am weak.
Would that not make you easier to capture?
Yes, technically, but I can also not capture myself.
Are you only to be restrained by magical means?
Yeah, only magic. She pulls her hands out from underneath her cloak, and you see that there are metal handcuffs around her hands, but the chain between them is broken. These were magical until I managed to break them with a scroll that I myself made inside the tower.
It seems you wanted to escape.
Well, I don't think that you've ever been influenced by a deity before. And honestly, it is hard to combat their insane mental power. The deity of life wanted me set free, and death wanted me dead. And, well, the balance doesn't seem to care.
Okay, Kuldik is going to try to use Mage Hand again and see if he can actually, like, grab onto her with it, or whether it just, like, passes through.
Okay, so you make a Mage Hand, and it passes through the shadow. Edge pulls out a long sword from her sheath and hands it to Nasoisto. This is for you.
Thank you.
Nasoisto, you instantly recognize the sword as the one of the 10 swords that was given to the first 10 families, and it is for the Dragonborns.
Do I know anything about the history of this particular sword?
You know that it was lost from your family line about 300 years after it was given. It was taken by the elves. They actually tried to take all of the 10 weapons for themselves, and after that, you don't really know what happened to it.
This is a great gift to me and to my people.
Yes.
If it is that you wish to be restrained, then I will do everything in my power to do that.
Yes, that would be preferable. As those last words come out of her mouth, her eyes turn to a deep black, and she reaches for her side, where the sword used to sit. Realizing that it is now in your hands, she cries out in what seems to be insane pain as she starts to descend.
What is happening?
Nasoisto has a minor illusion cantrip, so he's going to create an illusionary sword in front of Edge.
Okay. Edge reaches out to grab the sword. Do you know if it, like, you can feel it, or does your hands just go through it?
I'm pretty sure they just go right through it.
Okay. So she reaches out to grab it, and her hand swipes through it, and she cries it again.
Does she stop, like, disintegrating for the moment when she's reaching for the sword?
While she's doing that, she stops disintegrating. But it quickens after that, and she poofs away before you can really do anything else, and appears in a shadow across the side of the valley. The shadow of the tower.
Well, that was strange. Perhaps light would help imprison this being.
I do not breathe fire, do you?
I did not suggest breathing fire. I suggested light.
Kuldik is going to cast light on his hand axe.
Okay. Just so you know, the shadow named Edge is about 75 feet away from you on the opposite side of the tower.
What time of day is it?
It is about lunchtime, so the sun is...
So there's just a really small shadow from the tower.
Edge pulls her cloak back over her face, and her entire face darkens with deeper shadow as she reaches for her sides, pulling out two thin black daggers. You guys want to roll for initiative so we know what the turn order is?
14.
11 minus 3.
Okay, Kuldik, you get to react first.
Okay, can I cast light on my cloak?
Do you know if you can cast light on multiple things at the same time?
Yep.
Okay, sure. Edge takes one of the daggers and stabs it into the sheath that it started in, but her other hand whips around, grabs it back out, and now she has two daggers in her hand, and she throws them wildly at the two of you. Kuldik, a dagger flies towards you and through you, and you take 10 damage.
Wow,
that put me out quick.
Okay, Nasoisto, it's your turn.
I'm going to cast Sleep and center it on Edge.
Okay, what's the range for that?
The range is 90 feet, but it's an area centered off, like it's a 20-foot radius area centered off a point.
Okay.
Within range.
So you center Sleep on that. Does Edge have to make a concentration save throw?
No, it's a number of hit points.
Okay.
18 hit points. So if the shadow's hit points are lower than that or equal to that, then they're unconscious.
Okie dokie. Edge falls over sleeping.
Okay, Nasoisto is going to try to stabilize Kuldik.
Okay, Kuldik, you have to make one death save before this.
That's a 3.
Okay, Nasoisto, you can stabilize him. Roll for medicine.
18.
Okay, Kuldik, you are stabilized. How long does sleep last?
Duration 1 minute.
Okay.
The Soistu is going to go and try to find the dagger that she hasn't thrown first, and then if you can find that, go grab the other one as well.
Okay, so you walk up to the sleeping body of Edge, and you try to take the dagger or just find it. It's in her hand.
I'm going to try to take it.
Okay, roll for dexterity and see if you can do it without, like, waking her up.
Can I add sleight of hand bonus?
Sure.
7.
Okay, you grab the dagger and brush her hand, but she doesn't wake up. When you pick up the dagger, it kind of goes through your hand, but you can still get some kind of grip on it, and you take 4 damage from going through the shadow, and your strength score is reduced by 1 for a while until you have a long rest. Do you want to, like, put the dagger in your pack or just, like, get it out of her hand?
As soon as I get it out of her hand, I just walk over and grab the other one, too.
Okay. You're holding it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to, like, readjust your grip because it keeps, like, slipping through your hand. Weird. So it's, like a watery dagger or something. And you take 4 more damage and your strength score is reduced by 2 more points.
Do I manage to pick up both daggers?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to put them in my belt pouch.
Okay, they don't slip through your belt pouch.
Is it my total strength score or my strength bonus that's reduced?
Strength score.
Okay, and it's been reduced by how much total?
3. It took you about 15 seconds to get both daggers into your pouch.
Pick up Koldic and start carrying him out.
So you just start going back down the path towards Sunfall?
Yep.
Okay, so you carry Koldic. How far do you want
to
go?
How far is the path, like, all the way to the end?
Take you about 2 hours to get all the way back to Sunfall.
Okay, I'll walk for about 10 minutes and then go off the path a little bit, get a concealed spot in the rock somewhere.
Okay, so you walk for about 15 minutes and go into the concealed spot in the rock. Do you want to wait until Koldic wakes up?
Well, I'm going to take a short rest at least.
Okay, so you spend an hour sitting there, kind of thinking about what happened.
I can also do Song of Rest to heal us extra hit points.
Okay.
Can I do that quietly?
You want to sing, or you could just, like, tap your foot quietly and do it.
Okay.
But only people who can hear get the benefit.
Yeah.
I'll do it right near Kolik's head.
Okay. So you spend an hour singing, humming, and tapping your foot, and an hour later, you are sitting there, and you hear occasional moans and cry.
Do we have our hit points from the rest?
You do.
Am I up yet
nope.
at all?
You are still down.
So if it affects Koldic at all, the D6 for the Song of Rest is a 3.
Okay.
And then I'm going to use my hit dice to get me an additional 4 hit points.
Okay. Koldic, what's your hit dice?
D6.
Okay. So, yeah, you're hearing moans probably about every, like, 20 minutes, but they're staying far away. They're not getting louder or anything.
Do I know what is moaning or what direction it's coming from?
It sounds like it's coming from where you were, and you would assume that it's
coming from the path?
Yeah, and you assume that it's Edge.
Does she seem to be moving back and forth along the path, or
nope, what? It seems like she's just in one place.
And has Koldic regained consciousness yet?
No, he is breathing more evenly now, but other than that, he's the same.
How far away is the path?
You're like 50 feet off the path behind a large boulder.
Can I advance to about 30 feet away from the path without exposing myself?
Yeah, it wouldn't be as good a hiding spot, but you could still do that, yeah.
Okay, that's what Nasoista will do.
Okay. Do you want to wait there until Koldic wakes up?
No, once I get 30 feet from the path, I'm going to cast Minor Illusion. Can I see where Edge is?
Nope.
Okay, so I'm going to check if I can cast Minor Illusion somewhere where I can't see. It doesn't say I need to see the spot. So I'm going to create a Minor Illusion of myself onto the path.
Okay.
Does the sound change? Does Edge stop moaning or start moaning or something?
Nope.
Just the same?
Yep.
I want to get a look at the path. Am I able to move into a spot to do that? That I might still not be able to be seen from?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get a little bit closer then.
You won't be able to bring Koldic with you.
No, I left him back behind the rock.
Okay, so you sneak up closer. Do you want to roll for stealth?
Not really. 12. That wasn't too bad.
Okay, so you go up closer to the path, and you don't make any loud noises, and you see the empty path with the illusion that you made standing in its center.
I'm going to look around to see if I can spot Edge anywhere.
Okay, you want to roll for perception?
20. Not a natural, though.
Okay, so you see a shadow, and when you look more closely by the shadow of the cliff, you see that there is a figure in the shadow, and the figure is not a shadow. It is a 40-year-old half-elf crying in the shadows and sometimes muttering.
Okay, I'm going to get the illusion to walk over to her and ask what's the matter.
Can illusion speak?
It says a sound or image, so does that mean I have to choose one or the other?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how large are you able to make the illusion?
It can only do a 5-foot cube.
Okay, so I guess you made Nisoisto short?
Yeah, he's like crawling or something.
Yeah, that would work. Crawling Nisoisto.
Okay, I'm just going to get rid of the visual illusion because that's really dumb. And use the sound illusion.
Okay, so you make Nisoisto's voice say beside the crying figure.
What is the matter?
The figure turns around and looks up towards the cliff face where you're hidden and scans back and forth.
But I did the voice from, like, right beside her.
Yeah, but there's nothing beside her, so she's looking around, and she doesn't see anything. And
are her eyes black?
No, they're blue. She calls out, where are you?
I'll step out from behind the rock.
Okay. She looks up towards you and says, I thought you were gonna never come back.
Well, I will admit, it was not exactly a pleasant ending to our meeting. Does this happen to you often?
No. It's never happened before. I am normally Shadow. This is strange.
What I meant was when your eyes turned black and you attacked me and my companion.
That happened often while I was a shadow.
How often?
Hourly.
Regularly? Or sporadically?
Sporadically. Her voice is much younger sounding, and she also looks younger.
Do you have still any of your powers?
No. As they disappeared over the years, I gained more control, but my powers would peak as they did, and they would peak along with my insanity. But I have no power left, and I'm not a shadow.
Even at the times when your power was the least, did you still have some?
Yes.
So it is new that you have absolutely no power left.
Yes. I would daily generate myself food and water, even though I hardly ever ate anything, and simple things I needed, but all of that is now lost.
I believe that you have been released from your curse.
If I have, it must have been from a deity, which means that some other deity is working somewhere else, doing something else.
I do not know much of the religions of men and elf, but if you say that that is so, I will believe you.
Well, the laws and pacts that were made from the deity of balance made it so that if one influenced something as greatly as making me no longer a shadow, then the others could do something equally as powerful, either devastating or good.
So, which deity would have removed your condition?
Death or balance. I am probably going to die now that I'm no longer a shadow. While I was a shadow, my life was prolonged, but now it is no longer that way.
So, what you are saying is that the deity of life is working somewhere else?
Yes. Probably to create a curse similar to mine on some other being, so that they will live forever.
Well, that brings a rather melancholy heir to your freedom.
Yes, my freedom only comes with more sorrow.
Well, I think this is where we're going to stop.